Time for keys to the game against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, playing at Jerry World. Whew. Unbelievable facility. Been there. It's mind-boggling. I mean, the scoreboard, the big scoreboard has four side screens that are monstrous. It is an unbelievable facility. There's no question about it. Things are bigger in Dallas. The Bengals have to take the Cowboys down. Both teams are coming off losses. What do the Cincinnati Bengals need to do to get off the schneid? Very simply, take care of the football. I mean, based on last week's football game, you don't have to be a football Einstein to figure out what cost the Bengals the game. The Cincinnati Bengals had two opponents last week, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. They put themselves on their schedule. They self-destructed. They just handed the game to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a platter. The way it ended up. Five turnovers, four interceptions, and a lost fumble. Four of those turnovers in the first half. They dug themselves a 17-3 hole because of those turnovers. It was unbelievable. I mean, three of the first four possessions ended up with a giveaway. And it's you can't go minus five. Bengals had five giveaways, no takeaways. Four interceptions and the fumble, like I said, did not take the ball away from the Pittsburgh Steelers whatsoever. Never got the ball off of them. So you're minus five. You realize when you're minus five, you lose like 95% of the time in the National Football League. All right, so you add to that, one of those five takeaways was a defensive touchdown. In the National Football League, if you allow a defensive or special teams touchdown, you lose 85% of the time. So you add those two metrics together, the Bengals, 99.9%, they were going to lose that football game. Yet with all that said, they had a chance to win it in regulation if they can kick an extra point, and in overtime if they can kick a field goal. But the reason they couldn't do either of those is they lost long snapper Clark Harris in the first half of the football game. Add that to the mix. The ripple effect of that was enormous. Just mind-bogglingly enormous. On the extra point, it was not the issue wasn't the snap from Wilcox. The snap was fine. Evan McPherson hit that extra point true and pure. He was getting quick elevation, almost got it over Minkah Fitzpatrick's finger. He basically got a finger on it to reroute it, redirect it. The protection for the extra point broke down. Minkah Fitzpatrick basically came in untouched and blocked that extra point. Now, the field goal in overtime, the snap was a little bit higher. Kevin Huber had to come out of his crouch to catch the snap and get the ball down. It took a little bit more time. Evan McPherson's approach was mistimed. He was on top of the football before Kevin Huber could get the football down. So that whole thing was – the operation wasn't smooth there. But, boy, you look at all the things that happened. Giving the ball away, handing the game to them on a silver platter, to the Steelers on a silver platter, and then the injury to Clark Harris, which was, you know, extremely tough. And they lose the football game. So take care of the football. that's first and foremost. There are no two ways about that. That's going to be a huge you don't even have to talk about that as a key every single week, because it is definitely the biggest factor. When you look at it, Dallas last year, that's what they fed off of, was takeaways, was turnovers. Dallas had 34 takeaways last season. That's number one in the National Football League. They have a heck of a defensive coordinator who's very, very good with his schematics, Dan Quinn, and he figures out many, many ways to confuse you, attack you. 34 takeaways last year. 26 interceptions. 26. That led the NFL. They were plus 14 in turnover ratio. That was tied for first in the National Football League. The Bengals went minus five in week one. The Cowboys were plus 14 for the duration of the season. So they won the turnover battle more than they lost it last year. And that's, in my mind, the biggest reason they went 12-5. Trayvon Diggs, 11 interceptions. Led the National Football League. It also tied a record, Everson Wall's record, with the Dallas Cowboys. So he's kind of a ball hawk back there. You have to keep your eye on Diggs on the back end. But the biggest key when you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys defense and what you have to do to be effective against that defensive football team is Micah Parsons. This kid is unbelievable. His rookie year out of Penn State, he was the 12th pick of the draft out of Penn State for the Dallas Cowboys. He had 16 starts, 13 sacks, 20 tackles for loss, 30 quarterback hurries. He was the rookie defensive player of the year. He was the runner-up to the NFL defensive player of the year. To who? T.J. Watt. So the Bengals offense has to deal with T.J. Watt in week one and now Micah Parsons in week two. And they're very, very similar in terms of how they can wreck a game. You have to account for these guys. Quarterback comes out of the huddle along with the center, other people that have to recognize fronts. You look for number 11 and you kind of tilt your protection, do whatever you have to do from a protection standpoint to make sure that Micah Parsons is taken care of, just like you had to do with TJ Watt. This guy, he came off the edge in the opener for two sacks. And a lot of people are saying, why don't they just have him be a blindside pass rusher? Most quarterbacks, right-handed, put him at that right defensive end, let him go. He's so valuable because he can do so much. I mean, Dan Quinn has a Swiss Army knife. This guy, he's outstanding in coverage. You can blitz him from anywhere on the football field. So Dan Quinn does not want to pigeonhole him as just like in one spot. He wants to create problems everywhere. And he wants to find a weakness in the offensive line or a weakness in their protection scheme that he's going to try to utilize Micah Parsons to take full advantage of it. So it's going to be a big chess match. That's a big, big key to the game. How are you going to recognize, communicate, and handle Micah Parsons? That's going to be huge. They also have another pass rusher to complement him in DeMarcus Lawrence as well. So, you know, it's not just a one-trick pony. This Dallas Cowboy defense does have some talent on board there. There's no question. Offensively, Dak Prescott is not going to play. Dak Prescott had surgery earlier in the week. He had the broken bone. He's got two screws and a plate in his thumb. They're saying he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Doesn't matter how many weeks he misses, he's missing this football game. And that's big. Cooper Rush is going to be the quarterback. Cooper Rush is a guy that is very experienced. He knows Dallas's system. You know, last year he had a big football game when called upon. He answered the bell and was very, very effective as a starting quarterback. But what you have to do is shut down the running game. And that's the big key. Ezekiel Elliott is the one. Tony Pollard, the two, or the one and one A, the 1-2 punch. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. You have to control those guys. If you can minimize their effectiveness and make the offense one-dimensional and make Cooper Rush have to beat you with his throwing arm and put a nice rush on Cooper Rush. make him play from behind. I think that's going to be a big key. You know, it's harder to run the football if you start to build a lead. The opponent has to abandon that running game. Even if they are fairly effective in that running game, they can't just run the football. So score first. Get off to a fast start. Get an early lead. Build on that big lead. All of these things are big, big deals in this football game against the Dallas Cowboys without their Pro Bowl starting quarterback Dak Prescott on board. Dallas, if Dallas does get that running game going and get that running game established, they are very, very effective when they run the ball so well. They have maximum protection off of the run looks to push the ball down the football field, to take some deep shots. They play action pass. It's a maximum protection scheme. It's very hard to rush against it. You can't get them outnumbered because they get a lot of guys blocking at the line of scrimmage. And it's all based on the effectiveness of that running game. So you're going to have to minimize that effectiveness as best you possibly can. Again, make them one-dimensional. Red zone. Bengals have to finish in the red zone much better than they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 5 opportunities in the red zone. just scored 2 touchdowns. 40% success rate in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone, not going to cut it. And then when you get in the low red zone, inside the 10-yard line, goal to go. Red zone's inside the 20, low red zone inside the 10, goal to go situations. The Bengals were 2 for 4. 50%, not going to cut it when you're in those goal to go situations. They fourth quarter, they had 6 plays in the red zone and get no points out of it. 6 snaps in the red zone, 0 points. That can't happen. They had 4 plays earlier in the game in the red zone, had to settle for a field goal. And they had a penalty on one of those 4 plays. They had a false start by Volson that took him from the 3-yard line back to the 8-yard line. Can't do that when you're in the low red zone. You have to be smart. In overtime, they had 3 plays in the red zone and missed a field goal. So they actually had 9 plays in the red zone in the fourth quarter in overtime and got no points out of it. That's killer. That's killer. When you're driving, because you didn't get the ball by turnover, you had to move the football, and you drive all the way down in the red zone and you can't finish, you get no points, or you have to settle for just 3 points. Red zone is going to be a big, big deal that has to be much improved. So those are some of the keys to success against the Dallas Cowboys. Like to see the Bengals offense be balanced, get that running game going. Joe Mixon, they ran him a lot. He had 27 carries for over 80 yards, but you take away the 31-yard rush that he had on the other 27 carries, he had 52 yards rushing. It's less than 2 yards a carry. So they're going to have to be very, very consistent up front with their approach in run blocking to get Joe Mixon going, and then pass protection. Because the other factor in the football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steelers got 7 quarterback sacks on Joe Burrow and hit him 11 times total. Bengals only generated 1 quarterback sack. So that -6 ratio has to change. It has to change in the opposite direction. Get pressure on Rush, Cooper Rush, Rush, and protect Joe Burrow by running the football. It's going to be much easier to pass protect then. Those are some thoughts for a victory in Dallas. Let's go down to Jerry's World, knock off the Cowboys, come back to Cincinnati on a pleasant flight, a nice flight home. You know what's interesting? Last year, the team went 5-4 on the at home. 5-4 at home. So the last 10 home games, it's a 500 football team. Going to have to start defending your home turf better than they've done so far. But go on the road and get the first victory on the road. Could not quite get it done against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, it wasn't necessarily Pittsburgh. It's what the Bengals did to themselves. You can't come out of the out of this football game in Dallas saying, boy, we helped the Cowboys too much. Too much self-destruction. Take care of the football. You'll win the football game.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
yeah. Gotta get that body right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out FirstStarLogistics.com.